Hallelujah. Why don't you turn over to Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." That word translated led there is a present participle. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but, you know, just the study Bibles and resources can tell us these type of things. It may be translated as many as are continually being led by the Spirit of God. So when it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you could say for as many as are continually being led by the Spirit of God. And we want to talk about today and probably for some time ahead in future services, but we know today for sure about being led by the Spirit of God. This is one of the most important things you can learn as a believer. One of the most important things. Because if you are led by the Spirit of God, if you go where He wants you to go, if you do what He wants you to do, you know, if you marry who He wants you to marry, you get the job He wants you to get, you go in the vein of ministry that He wants you to go in, you know, you choose the occupation, right? I mean, God has everything planned out. We don't have to go and figure out everything. We talked about some things before, but you know, some of us in here haven't heard them. We often say that we should, you know, young people, you figure out what you're good at. You know, take an inventory of your abilities. You know, what classes are you really good in? And then, you know, pick something that you think you can excel at and then just give it your all and go on. God has a better way. He already, in His infinite wisdom, already knows exactly what we can do, what we can't do. He knows where the fault lines are in our lives. You know what I mean by that? That's not a bad confession. It just means we're human. Okay, we have things in our lives because we haven't completely been renewed in our minds. We have things in our lives that until we've renewed parts of it, parts of our mind with the Word of God, gotten things in place that if pressure is put in those areas, they can break. God knows exactly where every one of those are. He knows exactly what we can handle. He knows what we can't handle. He knows when we'll be able to handle them. He knows what we're good at and what we're not good at. He knows what we'll be good at in 10 years, and He knows what it takes to get us there. He knows everything. He already knows the end from the beginning. He knows now when you're going to take your last breath. He knows where you'll be. Because every one of us is going to die, right? Sometime or later. Jesus doesn't tarry. We're going to die. What are we going to be doing when we get there? We're going to look back on our lives and we're going to have done something. Well, God already right now knows a good plan, and He knows where you should be ideally, where He wants us to be. He knows everything from here to there. Now, there are no surprises. He knows exactly, when you talk about talent, ability, the best use of our resources, he knows what it is, what you can do now. The optimal path. There is no one that can tell you a better path than Almighty God. No one. There is. Talk about optimal. You know, like I'm an engineer, we optimize certain things. You know, you write software and then you go back, and if part of it is slow or whatever, you may optimize it. So, but you don't want to optimize it before you know that you need to optimize it, because then you just create all kinds of problems. Some of us are trying to optimize things in our lives for like 40 years out when we don't even need to do it right now. Right now, we're saying, I'm going to be doing this in 30 years, so I better figure this out now. And you don't have any business thinking about it right now, and you're trying to mess up your life, messing with doing things that you don't even need to worry about right now, because you're like, well, this is going to happen. How do you know? Why are you people laughing? Something's going on. No, there are things that we need to get, that we need to do what God tells us to do, not what we think we should do. So like I was saying, so I write software, and there are certain things you want to focus on. There is nothing that God, in your life, that some man could say, I have a better way to do it. My way is more efficient, and if you do it my way, you'll get there quicker, faster, and better. No such thing. Nobody can tell you something that God doesn't already know. They say, well, my way is better. Why are you doing it that? That looks like the slow way. If you're doing it God's way, it's the fastest way. Some people think this is the fast way. No, you look at them 10 years down the road, they're in an alley somewhere because they thought they were going really fast, but it turned out to be it went too fast and they broke. That's not fast. You know, you go 5 steps up and 18 back, that's not good. You go up 1 step at a time, 2 steps at a time, it might take you a while, but you get there. Does God have a way for us? Yes, He does. So if we know and we can be led by Him to get there, I mean, think about it. We're going to live this life out and we're going to do something. If we can know how to follow Him and do that right path, that's so much of the battle right there. All you have to do, we don't have to figure it out. We just have to say, Lord, in your infinite wisdom, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to try to figure it out myself and admit that I'm not smart enough, because we're not smart enough. How many people have plans and they come to nothing? They think they know what's going to happen. And what? The economy turns out. Well, didn't see that coming. You know, economy takes a dive, or, you know, somebody changes their plans on them, or their partner sells at them. Well, I didn't see that coming. God did. So if we'll just get Him, He'll say, don't get in business with them, because 5 years down the road, they're going to do something wrong. So back here, if we'll know, we'll say, I'm not going to do that with you, and we'll go on and we'll just avoid all this stuff. Even though it looked good, God knew. How many of you think God knows right now those type of situation 5 years from now? Oh, yeah. 10 years? He knows now. So if we're led and being led continually by Him, we'll avoid a whole lot of stuff. Yeah. Stuff that we don't have to do right now. So is this something we're studying? Is this something to get down and know how to be led by the Spirit of God? There are not too many things more important. Once you've been a Christian, then you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, because a lot of this hinges on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't speak with other tongues, see me after the service. We'll go through the scriptures, and you can be filled and walk out of here today. But you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you do need to speak with other tongues. This is not optional. Because so much of being led by the Spirit of God, it's your spirit, it's not your head, which we'll get into. You don't be led by your head, and you need to be in tune with your spirit, and you need to have the power of God implanted on the inside of you, and you need to speak with other tongues so you can speak out mysteries and know what God is saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go through this one more time before we move on. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God and daughters of God. That means if we're sons of God, see, he says, as many as are led or constantly being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, and you could say, and daughters of God. So that means if we're sons and daughters of God, if we've been born again, if we're in the family of God, we are being led by him. He is leading us. In other words, he doesn't have this group over here said, well, I believe I'll lead them, but I'm not going to lead these guys. No, he's leading all of us. Us recognizing his leading is another thing. That's what we're talking about. Because he's leading all of us. Don't ever say, well, I just don't know. God isn't getting through to me. No, it's we're not picking up. And there is a man side. There is a man side to this. You can't just leave it all on God. Well, God, show me. God will show you, but we have something to do with it. Otherwise, everybody would be led all the time if we had nothing to do with it. We can't put over on God what he's given us. Now, it's not like it's hard to do what he told us to do, but we can't just say it's all God's responsibility and we get ourselves in a mess and say, oh, God, you didn't tell me. No, that would be like God failed. God cannot fail. He didn't fail. So we have to have enough humility, enough awareness to say, I need to do something so that I hear from him. You may have heard it said before, but there are radio signals in this room. There are Wi-Fi signals in this room. There are 4G signals in this room. Cell phone. So you could pick up, you know, if you have certain type of cell phone, you could pick up, you can transmit and receive. That means you can make calls, right? If you don't have a phone, are they going to do you any good? No. Are they here? Yeah. If you don't have a radio, are you going to pick up the radio station and hear it? No. Are they here? Yeah. Absolutely. So it would be foolish for me if I don't have a phone or if my phone doesn't have a battery to go down to Verizon and say, I can't pick up, my phone is not working, I'm not getting any signals, you're not transmitting. Or the radio station. Not many people even listen to radio, except maybe talk radio, sports radio now. You know, go down, I'm not hearing something on my radio. I'm tuning in. And then for me to say, instead of looking and saying, there's something wrong with my radio, to go down to the station and say, what are you people doing? You just decided to stop transmitting? You know, they got this huge tower. You're not going to transmit? They say, we are transmitting. Maybe it's something on your end. Oh, but as Christians, yeah, we would see that in the natural. As Christians, a lot of times it's like, God, you messed up. You're not telling me. You didn't tell me what to do. You didn't tell me. You didn't warn me. So what does that mean? God failed. Why is it always God's fault? Why is the first thing when something goes wrong in a lot of people's lives, they say, God did something wrong? Why is he the first one that people are going to blame instead of the fallible human being that we look at in the mirror every morning and go, did you miss it somewhere? Now, I'm not saying some people take this and go, well, I just can't take, it can't be up to me or else I can't take anything. No, we're not saying that. We're not saying it's all up to us. No, Jesus shed his blood and did the heavy lifting, okay? He did what he needed to do. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, man, you're so close. So maybe if we just tweaked a few things, now all of a sudden we're hearing. It's not heavy. His burden, his yoke is never heavy. That's a lie of the devil when people say, well, I just don't want to have any responsibility. It can't be on me. It's all on Jesus. Well, if it were all on Jesus, everybody in the world would be saved now and we'd be in heaven. Because he's already paid the price, right? He's already done it. But no, we have to receive him and we have to know how to be led by him. Right? So, that's what we're talking about. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if we're sons and daughters of God, we're led. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. That's a large part of the battle right there. You start believing you're led. And when you don't feel led, you won't say, I'm not being led. You'll say, no, I'm being led. God's leading me. I just haven't maybe discerned everything, but He's leading me. He's leading me now. And I'll find out what His will is. You watch. I'll make the right decision. Don't say, I'm going to make the wrong decision. I just never can hear God. Don't say that. So many people are going, well, I just can't hear Him. No. The Bible says we can hear Him. We just read it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's like daddy, father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So we'll get into some of these things a little bit more. I want to read you a few more scriptures. Let's go over to Psalm 32:8 as we get into this. Psalm 32:8. Faith comes by what? So right now we're getting faith for being led by Him. Right now our faith is increasing for being led by Him that we'll know. We know we can be led by Him. This is not for a select chosen few. It's for every believer. Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. It said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Now, I want to read that to you in the Living Bible. You can write that down, the Living Bible. It says, I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. I'll read that again. You have it on your scripture sheet. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. The best one. The best pathway. Is that possible? Yes. I will advise you. Hallelujah. Talk about have an advisor. The Almighty is our advisor. He said, I'll advise you and I'll watch your progress. I'll tell you what to do and I'll check up and say, how you doing on that? And I'll keep you going. So I think some of us need to just put this right by our mirror when we wake up. Look at it and say, oh, God. Read it every morning. Yeah. I believe that. I believe that for somebody in here, at least one of you, you need to get this and put it. It would do us all well. But specifically, so you need to put this on your mirror. And you need to read it in the morning when you're waking up. That the Lord, and just say it out Lord, like this, Lord will instruct me. And He's guiding me along the best pathway for my life. He's advising me and He's watching my progress. That means you get up, it's not a meaningless day. The Lord's watching you. He's saying, I see you, you're up today. Got good plans for you. And I'm watching you. This isn't just another day. I'm watching how you're going to do today. And I'm watching, and I have good things. You haven't even seen the things down here, but to get there, you're going, you're progressing. You're further than you were yesterday. Don't throw this day away. Make a little progress. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Could the Almighty, when we're standing there, shaving or brushing our teeth, be speaking to us and us getting set for the day? And He's saying, it's going to be good. And you could just see him having a map of our life and say, you're here. You wait till you see what's coming up, but you're not quite, you finish this task I'm telling you to do now. Wait till you see what's coming next. You're going to love it. But you're not there yet. You haven't finished, you know, grade X. Don't try to get into, you know, you're in fifth grade, God time. Don't try to move into sixth grade quite yet. Don't even think about 10th grade. You're not there. But I see you. You're about halfway through, you know. This time of year, the school year, you got about Massachusetts time. We got about 5 weeks left or something like that. We go way into June. But, you know, you're almost done with the fifth grade, and then you'll be getting into sixth grade. It's coming. You're a day closer. Just keep on keeping on, daughter, son. You're going to get there. And you're doing better than you did last year, and you're further. Look where you were last year, and look at all I've added to you. And you ain't seen nothing yet.
Come on, that's good.
Hallelujah. That's our Lord. Is that being led? He said, I will instruct you. Is that a promise from the Almighty? So I'll instruct you. Think of this. The Almighty God that we look up and stand in awe. I mean, we can see these clouds and things. You can see things with a telescope that are so far off that are so much bigger than this earth. We can't even see all of the earth. We can't even see all of Andover. And he owns it all and he built it all. And that God that created all that, that has all that wisdom and knowledge, said, I'll advise you. He knows where we're going to be in a year. He knows where we're going to be in two. And if he's advising us, don't you think he's already considered all the pitfalls that could possibly happen? He said, I'll lead you in the best pathway for your life. Not number two, number three, the best.
Hallelujah.
And I'll get you there. You just keep looking to me. You just keep looking to me. You check in with me every day. So in other words, you don't read this and go, that's great, and then go off on your own. You say, no, I'm sticking close to him because he knows the best pathway. You know, we're just going right with him. Wherever he goes, we're going. We're going close, right with him. He doesn't say, well, yeah, you said you'd instruct me, so we'll catch you. We'll catch you in a few years. See you there. I'll see you there, Lord. I know what you want me to do. I got it. Got it. Got it down. All right, we'll see you in 3 years when we got this thing finished. That's what people do. They say, I got this. I got it. Okay, God, you've shown me everything. That's not how he works. He doesn't show you and dump everything in you for everything you're going to need to know for the time coming up in a little blip. He might give you a glimpse of where you might be. And that might be enough to get you to back off because you're like, you want me to do what? And you look at yourself and you're nowhere near that. But that's not what he's not asking you to do it today. He said, I'll get it there. That's just on the pathway. That's a stop. Now, come here, child. Get back here. You're here. That's there. You're here. Now, you just start doing what I told you to do today. And it may seem very mundane. You may think, when is this going to ever be over? When am I going to get to the next stage? I'm doing it, and I'm just doing the next thing. What is going on? But he's saying, you're making progress, just stick with me. The last thing you want to do is be like, man, I'm tired of this, and go off like that. You do not want to do that. No, we just keep chugging along with him, and he knows best. If you say, Lord, I asked you, and you said this is the best pathway, so it's the best pathway. I don't care what it looks like right now. Man, I would not have chosen this way, but I trust you, and you said this is the best pathway, so that's where I'm going. And I'm going to stay on this pathway, even though that one looks really good right now, but I'm going to come back here. This, wow, you go by an exit, and you're saying, I want to get off. Nope, this is the best pathway. I'm going on this pathway. Does he lead us? Yeah, he does. He's a good God. Let's turn over to John 10. John 10. John 10, verse 1. John, Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 1, says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This is how we ought to be. He says that we hear the voice of the shepherd. We recognize the voice of the shepherd. We want to stay close to him. And if we'll stay close to him and look to him, that voice will get more and more familiar. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Some people are thinking you're just going to jump into the things of God just without regard to time. It's no different than natural things in a lot of ways. You didn't learn how to do everything your first year on this planet. And people would say, well, that's silly. I mean, you can't ride a bike your first year. You can't change your clothes. You can't do hardly anything. You learn those things little by little over time. You get to know people over time. You know, we got to know our parents. We got to recognize that voice early on. That doesn't mean we could do everything. And over the time, you know, those of you that have been married or, you know, you've gotten to know somebody well, you know you didn't know everything about them even when you were married. First married, that doesn't mean all of a sudden you know them. Just because we're born in the kingdom of God doesn't mean we know God like we're going to know. I mean, our relationship is constantly growing in him. That means we'll know him better. But he said his sheep know his voice. Do you know somebody that is born into the kingdom of God can know the voice of they can know the voice of God right away? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's already talking to each one of his children right from the get-go. If we'll know to look inside, but that's the thing. We have to know where to look. We have to know how he leads us, how he guides us. But the Bible says here that he will. Just look at verse 3. It says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls them by name because he knows us. He won't say generally, you know, talk to everybody. He does that as well. He'll have specific advice, specific direction for you, for me.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yes.
He has a plan for everyone on the planet. It's just that there's a whole lot of people that aren't following his plan. But he knows them. He wants them all to be in his family.
Yeah.
And he has a perfect plan for everyone. And if for people that will never choose him, how much more the people that have chosen him? Don't ever yield to the thoughts that somehow God has forgotten you or that he's not leading you. You're not good enough to be led. No. The Lord says he leads his sons and his daughters.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Well, God just won't answer me. No. That's not true. God is telling you, He is giving things over to us. It's just that we need to learn to discern his voice. He's speaking to us. But it's where do we look? How do we discern what he's saying? But the fact is, he is. He is guiding us. Verse 4, "And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." They won't follow. It says you won't follow a stranger. If we'll center in on him and just say, "Lord, I want to know from you," the Bible says you won't follow the voice of strangers. Don't Don't yield and don't listen when the enemy tells you God's not going to lead you. You're going to miss it. God is holding out on you. God may lead other people, but he just won't show you. Then he would be violating his word.
That's right.
But the enemy will tell you that. And the enemy thrives when things are changing. When their things are not stable, when things, you're going in transition and you're going into something new and you're not sure about stuff, he thrives on trying to create confusion because you haven't been there before. And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to be in some places you have not been before. And when it looks like some circumstances look like God is not there or God didn't do what you thought he was going to do, that's when the enemy seizes and he comes in and tries to tell you, God didn't tell you. He's not telling you what you need to know. God didn't do this. God didn't do that. Are you sure about this? Are you sure about that? And that's the way he works. He's subtle. He comes in and he tries to tell you different things. Did God really? Is God telling you? Maybe you listen to something else. Maybe blah, blah, blah. That's what he does. He's sly and he's wicked. And he knows the truth. It's just you can't see it right now. He knows what's really going on. He knows that God is faithful to you. And he can see Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. But he does know some things. And he can see things developing in your life. He can see things down the path and help. He can tell that when somebody's anointed to do something. He can see that because there's spiritual things involved. And he'll try to stop it. He'll try to bring things and try it because he is the God of this world, the Bible says. Let's just turn over to 1 Corinthians real quick. Sorry, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4. Praise God. Second Corinthians 4:4. Actually, go to verse 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You know, the enemy is blinding people's eyes to the light of the gospel, so that they won't receive Jesus. He knows Jesus is the Christ. He knows, you know, he knows what's happening to his kingdom. He does not want people to go into the kingdom of God, and he is the God of this world, the God of this age. He's not above God, and he's not above Christians. We have been delivered from his dominion. But we need to be aware that this can happen and that our eyes, our minds, aren't blinded by circumstance, by other things going on, because the enemy, he is the God of this world and he has control over a lot of it. He doesn't have control over Christians, but he does have control over some natural things. And so something will happen and he'll tell people, see, God let you down. God didn't come through for you there. And he knows that he's the one that caused it to happen. That's why we need to walk close to him, close to God. Stay close to him and stay on his side even when we don't know. Even when we don't know exactly what's going on, we stay close to him and say, God, I know one thing. You're faithful.
That's right.
You'll come through.
That's right.
In our ignorance, We don't know exactly what happened, but one thing we just have to say is, regardless of what I see, I believe you, I believe God's good, and I'm not going to entertain any of this junk that somehow he didn't come through and he's not in, that he's not going to be faithful. Because that this is where he thrives, is when things don't look. He'll jump on it and he knows. He's a liar. He's a known liar. He knows the real situation. He knows what God is doing behind the scenes. And yet he knows what it looks like to us in our limited capabilities. And he'll say, see, God is failing you. And he knows. He bold-faced lie. He knows exactly what God is doing. But he will come to you and say, God's not leading you. God is let you down. God is not for you. And that's when, through that, we may not see. We're looking around going, that sounds true. But God will never do that to me. He said he would lead me. He said he would guide me. I'm a son of God, and he's leading me. And I hear his voice, and I will not hear the voice of the enemy. I will hear the voice of the good shepherd. I'm a sheep. I'm following him. He is leading me in the best pathway for my life, and he will continue to lead me, and he will continue to advise me, and he's watching my progress right now, and I'm going to finish my race, and I will serve him no matter what. And that will put him on the run. That's faith. You walk in faith when you can't see. And this is what it boils down to in following God and being led by the Spirit of God. We cannot be led by our minds. We can't be led by our senses. We can't be led by our bodies. We have to be led by our Spirit. Now let's go back to Romans and we'll close here. I believe that's probably good enough today. Romans 8:14. Go back to where we started. Romans 8:14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." We're in the family of God. He's going to take care of his own. Don't let the devil ever tell you you're on the outside. You're second rate. No, if you're in the family of God, you're first rate. The blood of Jesus has been shed for you, for me. And we say, no, he's going to lead me. He's going to say it one more time. He's going to lead me. He is leading me. And I hear his voice. It says, we did not receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our what? Spirit. That we are children of God. Notice in verse 14 it said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How is he going to lead us? Verse 16, the same way that you know that you're a child of God. You come into the kingdom by his word, and there is a witness inside that you're a child of God. It says, he bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The same way he bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God is the same way he leads us in everything in life. Yeah. Through our spirit. He bears witness with our spirit. Yeah. He doesn't bear witness with our head. He doesn't bear witness with our body, with our feelings. He bears witness with our spirit. So in all circumstances, we need to look on the inside in our spirit and say, what is bearing witness with me? That's how God's going to lead us. He's going to bear witness on the inside, and you're going to have a witness, a warmth, a glow, a peace, that you're going in the right direction. Yeah, and when you think of another way, it won't be peaceful. It'd be like, I don't know. It might look good to your eyes. It might feel good to your flesh. But when you look at it, you say inside, it's like, no. And you might, your head might go, but why? But why? Give me an answer. Don't succumb. You don't always have to know why. You could be avoiding untold destruction in your life. God, if God tried to explain it to you, he could not get it over to you because you don't have the context to understand it. Because there could be people and circumstances involved that you don't know. What's he going to do? Say, yeah, but you don't understand. This and this and this is going to happen. I'm not saying he couldn't. I don't believe most of the time he does. You just need to know that's not right. I'm not supposed to do that. I don't have, it doesn't bear witness. This is how he's going to lead us. He's going to bear witness with our heart. It's not going to be our head. So we're going cruising down the highway, and there's this flashing sign over to the right. And you say, I want to go there with your head, and your flesh might say, I want to go there, but inside there's just this no, no. And you feel peace about just heading on down the road. Yeah. So what do? You head on down the road. And then you come up on another exit. And there's this old rundown sign. You know, it says, turn here for a good hot meal or whatever, and you're looking at it going, go there? It doesn't even look good, but your inside's going, mm-hmm, that's where it is. You go over there. Where are you going to go? You're going to get off. You're going to get off on that exit if the Spirit of God's telling you. I'm not talking about natural. I'm talking about in life. When we are faced with decisions, don't go off and go, well, this looks a certain way. This looks like it's going to be real good. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. We don't know what that person's going to change and turn out to be. We don't know, but he does. Yes. And you won't get it all up here in your head, but you will get it in your heart. He will bear witness. Read that one more time, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The same way that you say, I'm in the family of God, is the same way he's going to bear witness and say, you're on the right track. You're on the right path. You just keep on that pathway. You're going the right way. I'm going to keep advising you. I'm going to watch your progress. You're going. You stay on it. Amen. Hallelujah.